you work, the motivation for why you work, is a heavenly investment strategy. It's got to be focused on Jesus and focused on what He can do for us. Some of us are a little uncomfortable, squeamish about this term master. No one can serve two masters. That's slave language. That's a beautiful language right there. Don't worry about little ones when they say something. It's no big deal. That's just an amen in baby talk. But again, this was true. This was an illustration from Jesus' day. Many men owned other men in that day. He's not saying it's right. It's not a commentary on that. He's using it as an illustration. And so the master was in complete control of the slave. For some of us, money is our master. And Jesus is saying, if that's true of you, you can't have two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. We don't like to think about that in the modern world, do we? We don't like, first of all, think about the fact that Jesus is our master. Some of us have been taught, maybe even in church, that Jesus is our friend. He's our Savior. He carries my burdens. And He does do all those things. But you know what? When you surrender your life to Him, when you repent and receive His gift of grace, He becomes your master. He's Lord and Savior. I think what Adrian Rogers said one time is really true. If He's not Lord of all, He's not Savior at all. And it's really true. I know that's a hard word, but that's the truth. And so I just need to ask you today, who is the master of your life? Is it something material? Something that you're driving for? Something that's not necessarily a bad thing, but a good thing? But you have let it fog your vision, and you're not really keeping sight of who the master is and what He wants to do, that He wants to change your life and save you? I'll tell you what, Jesus told another parable about this. And this parable is how I'm going to close my message today. And I really want to hear you guys to hear this. Because this is not in the Sermon on the Mount, but He's talking about the very same thing. And it's in Luke chapter 12. Why don't you flip over there for a second. Flip over there or scroll over there, whatever you need to do. But Jesus told this parable about this really successful farmer. And He talks about it. He starts talking about it in verse 15. He says, "Watch out and be on guard against all greed, because one's life is not in the abundance of his possessions." Then He starts talking about this rich man, and he'd been a successful farmer. And so what really gets me about this story, and I think it's here, let me see where it is and what verse it is. He talks about how he was a fool. God calls him a fool. That just blows me away. Here it is in verse 20. God said to this successful, wealthy farmer, "You fool." Now, we know that this is not language to be taken lightly, because back in chapter 5, He has said, if you are angry enough to call someone a fool, you're in danger of hellfire. So we know that God doesn't use that term lightly, but He calls this successful man a fool. So I've always wondered, why in the world would God call a man a fool? Was it because he was rich? Hopefully I've already answered that. Of course not. That wasn't it at all. It wasn't because he was rich. It wasn't because he was successful. Was it because he was ambitious? Because he would purchase land and raise a crop on it, and then he would have a successful crop? No, it wasn't that either. And you read on there how he had to build bigger barns. Was it because he planned for his future? You read it here, how he says, "You have many, I'll store all the grain in these barns." He's kind of got a retirement program here. He's got an investment strategy. "Then I'll say to myself, you have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy. Eat and drink and enjoy yourself." I don't think that even is what caused God to call him a fool. It's not wrong to plan for your future and save. Even younger people ought to be saving. It's not wrong to save for retirement. It's not wrong to retire. I think we should still be serving and using our time, talent, and treasure, but we can retire. There's a time to do that. So why did God call this man a fool? Well, I think the reason he did is for what's said here in verse 20. "This very night, your life is demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" So there it is right there. This man had done so many things right. He'd been successful. He was wealthy. He was admired and esteemed in his community. But he wasn't rich toward God. He hadn't thought about the most important thing in his life. The most important thing in your life is not your house. It's not your truck. It's not your farm. It's not your International Harvester or John Deere tractor. It's not your family. It's not your spouse or kids or grandkids. It's not even your physical body. It's your soul. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? And this guy had forgotten about his most important possession. And then he forgot about the fact that one day he will step out of this world into eternity where he'll live forever. Now is the time to get to know the one who created us and the one who we will be with in eternity. Because listen, there's only two places you go in eternity. You're either with God or without him. You're saved or you're separated. And so this man was a fool. Jesus is warning us about the danger of letting riches or material things cloud our vision and keep us from the most important thing of all, which is a relationship with him through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So I want you to bow your heads now and close your eyes. We're going to have our praise team come back up in a moment and sing. And we're going to sing along with them. But as we sing our closing song, we're also going to have an invitation. And an invitation is just a time where you've heard God's word preached, and it hits us different ways, but it speaks to our hearts. God intended it that way. Jesus told parables and preached. He was aiming for the heart because he cares about our hearts. He wants our hearts. He wants to be the king of our hearts is what he wants. And so I don't know what you need to do today, but I just believe in a room with this many people, some watching online, that somebody here today needs to make a decision. And what I really like to say is that this could look differently for different people. You need to take your next steps toward God. For some of us, that might look like initial salvation. And maybe you've been a successful person up until now, and you've had a lot of success. By the way, those Pharisees, they thought that that was a sign that God's favor was on them. And God does bless us. God gives us a lot of common grace. But what you need more than anything in your life, every single one of us, rich or poor, is God's saving grace. Have you ever let God save you? Has there ever been a time that you have turned from your sins and trusted Christ only? You're going to have an opportunity to do that in just a moment when we have this invitation. And I don't want you to be embarrassed or ashamed. Every one of us is in the same boat. You come up, come to this altar and take my hand and talk to me. And I can show you how you can trust Christ today and your life can be changed. Others that are here today, maybe we just need to rededicate our lives. Or maybe we realize that we're not placing enough emphasis on these most important things. I need to feed my soul just like I'm feeding my bank account or my investments. And you might need to come today and just pray and rededicate your life. Or maybe you just need to get reconnected to a church. You don't have a church home. And we would love for you to come here right now and be a part of what's going on at Hillcrest. Others may have been saved, but you've never made it public. The declaration of your faith in Christ. You've never been baptized. You need to do that. Whatever it is, this is our time to get right with the Lord. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll turn it over to our band, and then we're going to stand and sing. And if you do have something on your heart, don't delay. Don't let the devil keep you from it. Just come forward. Pray at this altar. There's others that are here that will pray with you as well. Father, I thank you so much for how you really cut through all the things of life. And we can turn our eyes upon you. And we can clearly see you. We may not ever understand all the spiritual things. I'm still learning spiritually and growing spiritually. There's never a time that we arrive. But Lord, thank you that we can come to you and be saved. Thank you that we can have our priorities right. Thank you, Jesus, that you clearly unveiled a heavenly investment strategy. That we're to live and use our time, our talent, and our treasures generously, productively, and consistently. And because of your word, by being in your word and by the power of your spirit and being with your people, we can keep our motives right, our eyes pure. We can pursue things in the right way. We can use things in the right way. But Lord, just speak to us now, and I pray that you'd have your way in this place. Thank you. Thank you, thank you for being here with us right now. May your will be done. We give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.